Well, good morning. My name is Tyler, and I serve as one of the associate pastors here at High Point Fellowship. And most of the time, you will see me singing with a guitar in my hands. But today, I am here, and I'm thankful for Cheryl and her willingness to come and lead, and the team that was there with her. Yeah. And leading us in worship to a holy God, because I understand the weight of that. I know the weight and the responsibility, and I appreciate the team giving their time and their talents to serve God and honor Him in that way. Again, I said my name is Tyler Murphy, so if you have any issues with what I say today, please email me at tw@hpf.org. When the mission team was planning to go on a trip out of the country, TW approached me and asked if I would be willing to go with him, and I told him that there was no way I was going to be doing that. That was a joke. But I do want to encourage you to continue to pray for that team, to pray for the church they're serving over there, to pray for the people they are serving over in Norway, and then continue to pray for the families that are here and the spouses that are here missing them. They are doing great things over there. My dad is over there with them and sending lots of pictures, but my mom's also here spending a lot of time at home by herself. So be praying for both sides of the people that are there. Last week, Gino beautifully walked us through the first half of James chapter 3 when he talked about the tongue and the power of the tongue and how it can be used to give life to someone or to harm. Now, I remember last week, Gino got up here, and really before he even jumped in, one of his first statements was, "I'm really nervous about today's sermon." And as I prepared this week, I started thinking about the times that I meet with people from the preaching team, and we talk about and pray through what Sunday might look like, and their statements are also always the same. "I'm really nervous." And as I prepared this week and I was writing these things of what to maybe say, I realized, how could they not be nervous? I'm not really sure that public speaking is the issue here. As preachers, we are being asked and trusted to discern and speak God's word to a group of people. Do we understand the weight of that? Let me put it this way. In this room right now, there are those of you who have already written me off. There are those of you who have written me off because of my age, because of the clothes I'm wearing, because of my position in the church, because of a conflict you have with me that I may or may not know about, or my Norway joke. They have potentially already moved on to reading their own Bible, scrolling Facebook, or trying to figure out what's for lunch. There are also those who are either consciously or unconsciously trying to catch me in a slip-up, trying to trap me in my own words to tell me how wrong I am or how I should have preached this differently. And then there are some of you that are listening, thinking that because I'm up here, that I have it right. I can say anything and you will hear it as the word of the Lord and live your life by it. But I could be speaking out of my own spirit, my own selfish ambition, and now I have steered you wrong. What weight? What pressure and temptation for those who stand up here to perform in an effort to entertain instead of teach? To wrestle with the fear of needing to hold back and say what is safe instead of communicating what we know to be the truth and avoid upsetting or asking those we are speaking to wrestle with their own uncomfortableness of what the truth calls us to. So I say all that with this: what an honor and a privilege it is to be here with you this morning. Before we dive into the rest of this passage, please hear me on this, and this is what I'm asking you to do with me this morning. As we walk through this passage together, I'm asking you, as I have tried very hard this week to check myself on, is to check your heart. If you're in this group, the first group I explained, check back in. Don't write off God's word being taught and uniting a group of believers because you feel the person delivering it doesn't fit the preacher box. Or if you're in the second group and you're listening for the purpose of how to disagree with what I say, please check your heart with Scripture before you start building your defense against me. And finally, that third group. I appreciate the trust. I really do. I, nor anyone else on the preaching team, take that lightly. But we don't get it right every time. If something is set up here that rubs you the wrong way, don't just think it was said from the stage and take it as perfect truth, but check it with Scripture, and please come ask questions. The point is, whether you are on the stage or whether you're sitting in a chair on a Sunday morning, we need each other to live this out throughout our weeks. So together this morning, let's seek heavenly wisdom from above over our own. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we come this morning, I pray that our hearts would begin to be realigned to where our actions follow and honor you. Above all things, that glory would shine about who you are, and not of our own selfish ambition or our envy or our jealousy or anything like that, but that, God, the things we do, especially in conflict with one another, in your name we pray. Amen. So there are three quotes that I've heard in my life that either change the way I live or do ministry. And the first one is by the greatest basketball player of all time, Michael Jordan. He closed his Hall of Fame speech after telling those gathered not to be surprised to see him come back and play at the age of 50. Everyone laughs in the room, and Michael tells them, because, you know, Michael Jordan and I are on a first-name basis. Michael says, don't laugh, and he tells them to never say never, because limits, like fears, are often just an illusion. The second one, Craig Rochelle, pastor of Life Church, who is an author and speaks about church leadership and what it means to be a leader of leaders, says this: we may impress people with our strengths, but we connect through our weaknesses. And finally, number three, which has some dispute as to who to attribute it to, it could be Abraham Lincoln, it could be Mark Twain, somebody last service told me it could be Will Rogers, for all I know it's Scoop Singleton. But it seems fitting to share this with you today based on the fact that our topic is wisdom. Says this: it is better to remain silent at the risk of being thought a fool than to talk and remove all doubt of it. I'm going to read it again. It is better to remain silent and at the risk of being thought a fool than to talk and remove all doubt of it. So with that being said, I would like to invite the praise team back up as I close us in prayer. I'm joking, but for some of you, I've given you a lot to think about, and we haven't even started our passage today. As we begin this passage together, I want to remind you that James is talking and speaking to believers, those in the church. It's a lot of great advice for those who aren't believers, but he is talking to believers, and my assumption is that if you are gathered here in this room today or you are watching online, that James is talking to you as well. Verse 13 of James chapter 3 says this, starting at the beginning. It says, who is wise and understanding among you? James immediately comes out of this with a challenging question. He has started the previous section with a warning that not everyone should become teachers, because what they say will be judged more strictly. After explaining that no one can tame their tongue, for it is a restless evil, the second half of verse 13 is then dropped on us. Again, it says, who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in meekness of wisdom. Oftentimes, I think we attribute wisdom to knowledge. We attribute it to cleverness. Sometimes wisdom means that it's somebody who has a great theological degree. But sadly, oftentimes we attribute wisdom to people who just speak really well, or maybe they just seem like they know what they're talking about, or maybe they have a high position. But James flips this on for everyone, saying, you think you're wise? Or you think you are understanding? Show it by how you live, with your actions. Rather than using your intellect or brain power, it is your conduct and how you live that shows your wisdom. James is not telling us that knowledge is bad, but that wisdom is something to be shown. The evidence for wisdom in your life is the behavior, not your knowledge. Because wisdom leads to humility, and that leads us to produce good deeds. James here is giving the solution to the problem from earlier in the chapter about the tongue or how we speak. What we say is a reflection of what's actually going on in our heart. From this, we see that when we speak poorly to or about others, we are lacking in wisdom. So we must first examine and change our hearts, and then our speech will follow. In the next few verses, James is giving warning to those who might think that they are wise. It says this in verse 14, "But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth." These are signs of a prideful, proud heart. The idea of selfish ambition, Aristotle, the Greek philosopher, would use this same word when referring to those who are self-seeking of a political office by unfair means. Pridefully, you seek to put yourself forward or to promote yourself or your ideas while pushing others down to get your desire. Earlier in chapter 2, James, we the readers are told about our prejudices and how we often choose people who look nicer or have a better status in the community to have the better places to sit or to help us move forward, to make us look better. He is coming back to that and saying that you are choosing worldly views of importance and power instead of a godly viewpoint. James ends verse 14 saying that those who have selfish ambition should not claim to have wisdom that they do not actually have. To make such a statement would be a lie about what the truth actually is. So boasting about how wise you are is not wisdom. Twisting the truth to make yourself sound better is not wisdom. Manipulating a situation and people's emotions to get them to feel a certain way about you or for you is not wisdom. And here's a side note, is that I know that a lot of us are blind to our own selfish ambition. But some of us are very aware of it. And we're calling it wisdom from above. Here's what James has to say about this kind of wisdom. So verse 15, it says, "This is not wisdom that comes from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic." I love how some translations put wisdom in quotations, saying like it's not even real wisdom. It's your pride. It's your own ambition. It's earthly. It's not from God. It is unspiritual. It's not a prompting from the Holy Spirit. And it is demonic. Verse 16 goes on and it says, "For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice." Author James Alberry, in his book James for You, says this about this verse, that pride is not something to be proud of. This warning is that this is what our pride leads to. I mean, take your pick of all the things going on in our world today, all of the examples, we see all kinds of people and leaders that are willing to say or do whatever it takes to move themselves forward and push up their position, driven by selfish ambition, And those who are following are caught in the wake and are at each other's throats, and they are unwilling to reason. Paul gives a similar warning to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 when he says, "But I, brothers and sisters, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not ready for it, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way?" When we act out of selfish ambition, envy, and pride, we lean on our own understanding. Time and time again, we stir up conflict and we make current situations worse. To close out this section of chapter 3, James provides us with what true wisdom is and who provides it. Remember, wisdom, like faith, is something that is to be shown and can be seen. In verse 17, he says, "But the wisdom from above is first pure, it is then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere." This wisdom from heaven is literally the opposite of the wisdom from earth. These two types of wisdom are not only different in they're not only different in their source, but they are also different in their results and their outcomes. They lead the one with wisdom from above to have a different heart and a mindset in a given situation. James tells us these qualities in a one leads to the next kind of order. Or if you start with this, this is what's going to follow. So if we start with heavenly wisdom, these are the things that will follow. When we start from a place of jealousy or envy or selfish ambition, it is very hard to be peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, seeking out good deeds, and being impartial and sincere. Have you ever noticed how it is seemingly becoming the culture in our world that everybody is just kind of living on edge? Like, we are always mentally armed and prepared and ready to start a fight, to argue our own cause. As I travel and I lead worship at other places, I see this so prevalent among Christians. It doesn't matter if I'm worshiping with another church or I'm at camps, and I hate to burst your bubble, but right here at my home church of High Point Fellowship. I'll prove it. I'm going to say a list of things that I bet will get under most of your skin right away. Or maybe just make you mad simply because I said them from a stage in a church. You ready? Pineapple on pizza. Longhorns. Aggies. Sorry, Trevor. Android. Trevor works for Apple. Trump. Biden. Vaccines. Masks. Planned Parenthood, immigration, LGBTQ+, or even the new floors in the worship center. You laugh. The list could go on and on, and notice that I didn't even give a right or a wrong on any of these. I didn't take a stance, and I didn't attack yours. Though I bet by just mentioning some of these things, some of you became angry or sad or even thought, Tyler, why would you bring that up? I bet most of us, if not all of us, are already or had arguments lined up in our head. Living like this is exhausting. And if we're honest and we're continuing to live like this, we are probably not experiencing perfect love or understanding the freedom that comes from Christ. We may be justified in our own opinions scripturally, but is your mindset of arrogant elitism or humble devotion to the Lord? The question here is not about the issue itself, but your heart and mindset towards the other side. I can understand for those who maybe don't associate or call themselves believers, but as believers, we are supposed to be the ones who are showing how to live the good life by deeds done in humility that come from wisdom from above. We are supposed to seek God, pursue peace, to be sincere, be gentle, show kindness to others, love one another, and be open to reason. Like Paul said to the Corinthians, we live in the flesh, and we choose to remain spiritual infants. We live in the limitations of our own selfish ambition, in fear of being wrong, and we are trapped by the illusion that our wisdom is better. So we continue to use what we see as our strength to push ourselves forward, to protect our ambitions of not letting people in, and instead of admitting we don't know or that we were wrong. We attack and defend ourselves and our actions instead of saying, I'm sorry. Or I hear you, or I love you. Instead of choosing to show heavenly wisdom and live it out, we open our mouths when we should have kept them shut. We show we don't have wisdom at all, and we prove ourselves to just be fools. So Tyler, where do we go from here? How do I know that my motives are pure and spiritually honest? In the first chapter of James, James says this in James 1:5. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in his ways. Proverbs 2, 6, and 7 say this, for the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright, and he is a shield to those who walk in integrity. And Proverbs 3, 5, and 8 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from what is evil, and it will be healing for your flesh and refreshment for your bones. So true wisdom, heavenly wisdom, comes from one source. And that source gives generously to those who ask. Those who acknowledge and fear the Lord, who trust in him and lean not on their own understanding. So that is where we start. We ask in prayer. We check our hearts and ask God to change it to reflect him, and we ask for wisdom. This is an everyday process because just as there are new mercies every morning, there are also new temptations. This gets carried out not just on an hour on Sunday morning, but we continually seek out wisdom from above every weekday. Scripture is full of heavenly wisdom. It is full of examples of those who chose earthly wisdom, and it tells of the results of that. And it also has examples of those who used heavenly wisdom and also has the results of that. James ends this section with one final thought. In verse 18, it says, "And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." Believers are to be peacemakers. Believers are to pursue peace, especially in conflict with one another. Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount from Matthew chapter 5, tells those gathered around him that peacemakers are blessed, that they are children of God, saying, "This is how people will know that you are children of God, because you pursue peace." The list that James gives of virtues in verse 17 can seem maybe far off or unattainable in certain situations of conflict. And that is because we are broken people with wrong motives most of the time. But every day, as believers, we can pursue peace. Peacemaking is not avoiding a conflict, but in a conflict, it is being willing to listen, to be considerate, to be open to reason, and to be sincere. Let me be very clear here. I am not saying that you cannot have your own opinions and your own convictions. I am not saying that you cannot share those convictions with those around you. What I am saying is that when you do so, you seek Christ. That your heart is set on maintaining the bond of peace, as it says in Ephesians 4. That you don't jump into anger. The words you use are gentle, not attacking. That when the conversation ends, both sides feel heard and at peace and walk away with love for one another. This is one thing I love about High Point, is that we are people from all different upbringings and backgrounds, and we do not have to all agree on the same things. Once again, I want to remind you, it is hard to seek peace if you are driven by jealousy, envy, or selfish ambition. When we pursue and encourage peace among one another in conflict, when we are actively realigning our thoughts and our hearts to be peacemakers, the things listed in James 3:17 will start to show in all of our lives. When we become more concerned with honoring God in our actions, we become more concerned with restoring relationships than using them to get ahead or get what we want. To be peacemakers, we have to be deeply concerned with the care of those around us more than our own self-interests. So let's start listening to each other. But listen with the intent to hear the other side instead of building your defense. In a heated moment, I want you to take a step back and look at your intent and your own actions. Stop assuming that someone else's position or someone else's stance on something, and start to get to know them. Or as the great soccer coach Ted Lasso said, be curious. Not judgmental. I want to close with this. Together, let's continue to gather on Sundays. Let's seek out and grow in our understanding of wisdom that comes from above. But think about this as we leave today. What good is the knowledge we gain gathering on a Sunday if we are unable and unwilling to live it out during the week? Let's pray together. God, I pray that we would be people who live this out. God, as there are things that I got some work to do, there are things that we all have work to do if we're honest with ourselves. But that, God, we would seek wisdom from above. We would seek to be pure in our intentions, to seek out to be peacemakers, to care more about people than our own self-interests. That when conflict arises, we would turn to you, and that everyone would leave and you would be glorified at the end of it, and everyone would know that they are loved not only by the king, but also the people who gather with them. So God, as we close this time, I pray that we would leave these doors and live out the knowledge that we gain. That we would live out what it looks like to have wisdom from above. And that everyone would be amazed and come to know who you are because of our actions. God, we love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.